It was 2 years ago this month that Colonel Ricky Ferguson, a 25-year-old soldier with the 4th Battalion, the Rifles, lost both his legs, his left eye, fingers on both hands in a blast in Afghanistan. Ricky's injuries were received when he trod on a hidden explosive device which others ahead of him had stepped over. 2 years ago this month. And so it was on December the 7th, 2010, at Buckingham Palace, that young Ricky stepped forward on his two carbon fibre legs to receive the military cross from Her Majesty the Queen. It was, as you would imagine, a very proud moment for the young man from Telford in Shropshire. He'd spent 5 weeks in intensive care. He'd had 17 operations, including skin grafts from his forearm, that was to recreate his lips, and skin from his stomach to make him a left cheek. His bravery was to go to the aid of his wounded comrades on at least 4 separate occasions. And it was that moment on December the 7th, 2010, which particularly struck me, as Ricky bowed before Her Majesty the Queen to receive his honour. As the two of them were for a moment isolated there together, centre stage, many poignant thoughts rushed through the hearts and minds of the observers. But here in the presence of what could only be described as immaculate royalty, looking very trim in her peach, was a curious mixture of immense inner bravery and, quite frankly, hideous outward disfigurement. And I'm not being unkind when I say that about Ricky. I understand that at the investiture he actually met a nurse who said to him, "Are you Ricky Ferguson?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, I was one of the people who nursed you on the plane. It's lovely to see you with a face." That's how badly Ricky had been disfigured. Now, I'm hugely taken with his bravery. Make no mistake, I'm sure we all are. Taken with his willingness to risk his life for others. But it's that picture, that almost incongruous picture, really, of disfigurement before royalty that was set before us on the television and in the newspapers, that brings us this evening to Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus cleanses a leper. You see, Ricky's disfigurement, as he shuffled forward, in a sense on 4 sticks, 2 he was using and 2 that were now his carbon fibre legs, disfigurement was not really in keeping or in harmony with the lovely surroundings of Buckingham Palace and Her Majesty in lovely peach. It was an incongruous encounter, which so reminded me of so many encounters in the scripture, where again we find disfigurement before royalty, which in the scriptures is not out of place when we come to understand the condescension and the compassion of Scripture's King, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on the back of that that I invite you to come with me this evening to Matthew chapter 8. It's following Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's the first of a series of encounters recorded in which the compassion and the condescension of the King of Kings is very striking. And so please come with me to this scene, which at one level in its day was outrageous. It broke taboos, it broke barriers. At another level, it was an encounter which was a testimony, in a sense, to the priests. That's what verse 4 is all about. Jesus tells a leper who he cleanses to tell no one. Jesus often said when he healed somebody that they were to tell no one. It wasn't the time when he wanted to be known for the Messiah. His business was to preach the word. But here the leper was told to go and to offer the gifts which were spoken of in Leviticus, some of those which I mentioned this morning, as a testimony to the priests, to let the priests know that Messiah was here. Come with me this evening to this encounter of Jesus with the leper. And do so, remembering, please, what the Bible makes very clear to us, and we should see with our eyes every day, that we live in a wretchedly fallen and disfigured world. The Bible tells us it's a cursed world, because sin has entered the world. It's a world that is under the sway now of the evil one. And around the ruined, and that's what it is, the ruined and marred world tonight, The majority of human beings live in circumstances that would defy our imagination here this evening. I mentioned in prayer this evening Katrina's sister, who's in the Philippines. She's been taken to hospital with suspected leptospirosis. I'm told here that leptospirosis is a waterborne disease arising from rat urine in floodwater. Large areas of land are covered in mud, probably containing sewage, as well as many other diseases and sharp objects, metals, glass bits. And many people are walking around in flip-flops or in bare feet, getting cut and getting infected. That's just one tiny picture of the circumstances that so many live in around the world this evening. Hunger and disease and poverty and deprivation are the norm the world over. Millions live desperate lives. Countless lives live off, frankly, what the Americans would say are garbage pickings. It's a broken world on account of sin. In the days when Jesus Christ walked this earth, no one felt their disfigurement and wretchedness, I would argue, more than the leper. The leper was shunned by society. The leper was rejected by family. The leper was ignored by the religious. And lepers presented a cocktail of actual misery and rejection, for that's what they faced day in and day out. But they also quite clearly present a parable of the deepest spiritual woe known to mankind, which affects all of us in this room here this evening. And so I want us to turn and look at two particular points this evening to see that no spiritual condition lies outside both the willingness and the power of Jesus Christ to transform. No spiritual condition lies outside both the willingness and power of Christ to transform. I want us to look at three things about this man, the leper who came to the Lord Jesus. And the first thing I want to look at is his condition, and I want to look at that in three ways. I want to look at his medical condition, I want to look at what that meant for him living in that society, and I want to look at what it teaches us about sin, which the Bible says is the condition in which we all came into this world. So the first thing this evening I want to look at is this man's condition, the man with leprosy. And first of all, and briefly, because I'm not a doctor, I want to look at it medically. I understand that leprosy anesthetizes the body. There are no sensations to protect you from self-inflicted destruction. So therefore we read many tragic cases of people picking up objects from fires, just not knowing how hot they are. They don't feel it, and clearly burning themselves. We read of lepers even walking across splintered glass without realizing the harm that's being done to their bodies, because they're anaesthetized to it. They've lost their sensitivity. Leprosy numbs the extremities of the body. And so very often for a leper, you find that the leper finds that disease leads to destruction of the body. Increasingly so, because the warning system of pain has gone. And so the leper continues with open, festering wounds. They limp on twisted legs. They gradually become disfigured and repulsive to others. I'm just 6 weeks again from seeing the lepers of Kampala, who sit there around the clock tower all day in and day out, gnarled and twisted and very repulsive in many ways to the human eye. Here is a disease that makes you repulsive and leads to death and destruction. That's the medical condition. But secondly, I want to look at something else about leprosy here. And we're almost taught it from what the man asks for in verse 2. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, he understands another dimension to this illness. He's not just ill, it's made him unclean ceremonially. That's the second part of the condition that I want to look at here this evening. You see, many people in this day understood leprosy to be a judgment of God on a person. That's how it was understood by many. And sometimes that was because In the Old Testament, we see that God's response to the sins of people like Miriam and Gehazi and Uzziah was that he afflicted them with leprosy. But Jesus taught us, and it's recorded for us in the Gospel of John in the 9th chapter, concerning the blind man, that illnesses and afflictions are not necessarily signs of individual judgment at all, but much more likely they are part of human existence in this wretched and fallen and disfigured world. Now, in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament, once a man or woman was deemed leprous, they were totally abandoned by society, because they were declared to be ceremonially unclean. You kept your distance from them. You'd have to be at least 6 foot, unless there was a prevailing wind, in which case it was 100 foot because of the smell. They had to warn you that they were coming by crying out, "Unclean, unclean." And people would retreat to their homes to run away from the presence of the leper. No one dared to touch a leper either, for to do so would make that person ceremonially unclean. Anything the leper touched would become unclean. You couldn't worship at the temple. You were separated by your condition of uncleanness. Here's a tragic picture of somebody alienated from society, alienated from family and friends, alienated from the religious, alienated from God. It's firstly a medical condition, but it's a condition which secondly made you in this day spiritually unclean, separating you and banishing you from the worshipping community of God. What's the third thing though about this condition? Well, as I said, it presents for us a cocktail, not only of actual misery and rejection, but it's a parable to us of the deepest spiritual woe known to mankind. What do I mean by that? I mean that leprosy speaks to us of the actual wretchedness and disfigurement of something the Bible calls sin. Something that affects every one of us here this evening. Leprosy speaks to us of the actual wretchedness and disfigurement of sin and the consequent destruction and rejection of the sinner. And we all need to understand this here this evening. You need to understand it, because the Bible says this is a universal condition. Not that we're all lepers, but the Bible makes it abundantly clear we are all sinners. We might not enjoy being told that. We might wrestle against it. We might not understand what it means. But the Bible deals in spiritual truths. We live in a land that doesn't care much for spiritual truth today, so we don't hear these things, so sometimes they're very strange to us. But the Bible clearly tells us that we are sinners, because we've all sinned. And by that we mean that we've all rejected God, we've all rebelled against him. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned each one to his or her own way. And that means that by nature, from birth, we are in the most miserable condition of all. But tragically, we don't see it like the leper saw his condition. But our most miserable condition is that we're cut off from God. And we don't know him. And we're under his wrath and his judgments. And in that condition, whatever we may make of it, the Bible says that we are repulsive and offensive to a holy God in our rebellion and in our pride. And I just ask you to examine your own heart and ways, really, as I do my own. When every one of us here tonight is twisted and deformed, aren't we, in our desires, in our thoughts, in the way we speak, in the things that we say. None of us walk as God would have us to walk spiritually. We walk crooked. We're just like the supermarket trolley, which you can never get to go in a straight line because we're always veering off this way or that way. We veer one way or the other, but apart from the way that we should be going, because we're crooked. And the Bible teaches that the unclean cannot approach God and live. And yet the Bible also declares this good news to us, that God has approached us in Christ. God, the holy God, who we cannot approach in and of ourselves and live because of our uncleanness, has approached us in Christ. Christ. And I wonder if you this evening would just pause to consider the truth of your own condition. And whether from that condition you this evening, like this leper, would not be propelled to Christ. Recognising that He alone can do something for you even here this evening. This is the good news message of Christianity. Christ's power and willingness to cleanse, to restore, to make whole the spiritually unclean. This man here in Matthew chapter 8 was diseased and disfigured. He was being destroyed. He was unclean and separated. And sin does that, all of that, to each of us. That's the condition. But the second thing I then want to mention this evening is that this leper comes to Christ out of a concern. We simply read, the leper came, or a leper came, in verse 2. And you can probably picture that in some way in your own mind. Approaching Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is a man from whom eyes may have turned away due to the repulsive nature of the grotesque figure that he was as he limped to Christ. Maybe the crowd's sense of smell may have recoiled at the smell of rotting flesh in this leper. Maybe their ears had heard the distinctly weak voice calling out, "Unclean, unclean," no one would dare to help him except Jesus the Christ. From a miserable condition, unclean and separated, this man came to Christ. Now, because we don't live in such a society today, something of the shock factor of this encounter is lost on us. But in Jesus' day, lepers didn't simply walk up to someone else, especially when a crowd was around. But this leper did. Why? Why do you think this leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely he must have believed that Jesus could help him, that Jesus alone could make him clean. And so what we read here is that he casts aside all restraint, he comes and he worships Jesus, he kneels down before him. Here is hideous disfigurement, rejection and alienation before royalty, the King of Kings Jesus, breaking all the normal codes of society. What made him come to Christ? What would make you come to Christ? We can only imagine that this man had watched from a distance as he'd listened to the words of Jesus. Perhaps he'd seen the compassion of Jesus to others, and so in this moment of abandon he defied what everybody else might think of him, and he simply came and he fell before Christ. And such abandonment shows the heart of a person that truly knows that Jesus only can deliver their soul from the burden that it faces. This leper saw that it was Christ alone who could make him clean. It's Christ alone who can make you whole here this evening. And as this man came, he shows to you, even here this evening, the way to Christ. The way to Christ is the way of humility, as we cast aside our pride and our self-importance, and as we humbly, reverentially yield to Christ alone, who can meet and deal with our deepest need. This man worshipped Christ. He knelt before him. He fell on his knees. He fell with his face to the ground. He recognized Jesus for who he is. Do you? He called him Lord. And he comes as a beggar with a plea. But I want you to notice this. He comes out of a concern, and his concern was this. He didn't doubt the power of Jesus Christ to heal him. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." But that was his concern. His concern was being made clean. Now that, I think, speaks volumes of the work of God in the life of this man. He was more concerned with being unclean than he was with being unwell. He doesn't say, Jesus, heal me. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The thing that most concerns this man is the fact that he's cut off. He doesn't state, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. That would have been true. But this man felt something more than the weight of his physical affliction. He knew that leprosy separated a man from the worship of God. Lepers were not welcome in the temple or at times of sacrifice and prayer. He was alienated from God. And that's what most concerned this man. Oh, that Jesus Christ would make him clean. Oh, that Jesus Christ would restore him. Oh, that Jesus would make him whole. What a glorious concern that is. Is that your concern here this evening? You've learnt of your condition. It's like mine by nature from birth, cut off from God under his wrath, deservedly so, for the way in which we have lived. Oh, do you not have any longing in your heart tonight to be right with God? To be right with God once and for ever. Do you have no concern here this evening for your spiritual need? You see, I believe that what this leper said shows us that his primary concern was his spiritual need. He wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be restored to wholeness so that he might be part of the worshipping community. He wanted to be acceptable to God. And the leper saw that it was Christ alone that could make him clean. By nature, we are unacceptable to God. He is holy and we are unholy. He is pure and we are impure. We are contaminated with our sin. It affects every part of our lives, our desires, our thoughts, our words. Our sin cuts us off from God. Do you not long to come back to God this evening and to be right with him for the very first time in your life, and to be right with him then forever? A man with a condition of leprosy came to Jesus out of a concern to be made clean. Thirdly, then, notice, in a sense, his condition as he comes to Jesus. I use that word condition because he uses the word if. Behold, a leper came and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's almost a condition there to the plea. Lord, I know that you can make me clean, but are you willing? I know you have the power to make me clean, but are you willing? What an interesting little phrase. If you are willing. Life's full of ifs, buts, and maybes, isn't it? This if stood between the leper and deliverance from his impossible condition. He didn't presume to know what Christ would do. The fact that Christ had doubtless healed others didn't mean that he would choose to heal this leper necessarily. And so the leper comes and says, Lord, if you are willing. Have you ever pondered what made him ask that question? Lord, I know you have the power, but are you willing? Was it simply his submission to God? I mean, your hands, and it's up to you. You have the power to heal me, to say yea or nay, to cleanse me, yea or nay, and it's up to you. And I accept what you do with me. I struggle to believe it was that dry, because that's not normally the approach of people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing and forgiveness. It's not simply a matter of, well, if you will. They come with an awakened desire. This leper says, if you are willing. I wonder why he was focused on Christ's willingness. And I just wonder whether it wasn't this. You know, he recognized Christ had the power. But would Christ be willing to do this for him personally? Did he, the leper, understand the justice of being cut off, that it was such an undeserved thing he was asking for. But, oh, Lord, would you be willing to do this for me? Would you be willing? I know you have the power, but would you be willing to do this undeserved kindness even for me, this disfigured leper, alienated from all? Did this leper feel the sense of the huge gap between the holiness of Christ and his own unworthiness? And effectively ask, could you really stoop this far to be willing to do this for me? And I ask that question because I wonder whether it's your question this evening. I wonder if you wonder whether the Lord is willing to make you whole. Well, you recognise he's done it for others. You recognise he's got the power. But perhaps you look at your attitude or your behaviour or your indifference or your resistance and your wriggling against the things of God. And you accept that Christ has the power, but would he be willing to do it for you, given what you are? Would he be willing to do this for you? He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let's look quickly at the response. Lord, I know you have the power. If you're willing, you can make me clean. The response of Christ to this leper gives us a glorious insight into his compassion and condescension in dealing with sinners, which is what we all are, in every age. This little episode, this one encounter, encapsulates the whole of why Jesus Christ came down to earth from heaven. You see, for that which is impossible with man, healing a leper, was possible with God. And that which was repulsive to man, the leper, was loved by Christ the Lord. You ever considered that you might be loved by Christ the Lord? You see, just as Christ showed compassion to the leper to raise him from his hopelessness, so Christ does the same for sinners in their hopelessness due to sin. What did Christ do? He put out his hand and touched him. What did he do? He put out his hand and touched him. The King of Glory identifies with this miserable, disfigured wretch of a man. And the King of Glory still identifies with disfigured wretches of men and women. You can almost imagine the horror in the crowd to this scene as they looked on, perhaps in wonder but in horror. The repulsive figure kneeling before Christ had nothing to offer the Lord Jesus other than a body racked by hideous disease. And Jesus Christ stretched out his hand and touched him. And remember, to touch a leper made a person unclean according to the ceremonial law. To touch him was to defile yourself. But Jesus touched him. The Canadian writer Don Carson says, by touching an unclean leper, Jesus would become ceremonially defiling himself, but at Jesus' touch, nothing remains defiled. At the touch of Jesus, nothing remains defiled. So far from becoming unclean himself, Jesus makes the unclean clean. Has he cleansed you this evening? Do you know he's touching your life? Do you know that he's reached out to you and touched you and forgiven you your sin? This is the uniqueness of Christ. This really is a reality. This is the divine compassion of the God that we cannot see. But he makes himself known here in the Word. His divine compassion to people like me and people like you who don't deserve his kindness. You're a believer here this evening. Think of your own unworthiness and yet of the divine favour that God has shown to you, the God of all compassion. Because you've been made whole, your sins have been forgiven. This little encounter is surely a picture of the whole incarnation of Jesus, why he came to this earth. He who is totally pure and holy, who knows nothing himself of sin blackening his heart, left the glory of heaven to become one with us, touching the foulness of humanity, but not himself becoming defiled. He was without sin. And yet the reason Jesus came was to be made sin. In his love, to have the defilement, the sin, the guilt, the shame of others laid upon his body on the cross and counted against him, such that he has to pay the penalty for that sin, which is death. And he willingly does that as a sacrifice for our sin. He reaches out his hand and touches the leper, saying, I am willing. Oh. The if was a chasm. And Jesus says to this unworthy man, I am willing, be cleansed. No sweeter words are surely ever heard by human ear than those of Christ to the hopeless leper. I am willing, be cleansed. This is the same God, willing to deliver the desperate and the unclean, commanding them, be cleansed. Not only did Jesus express his willingness, he commanded, be cleansed. This is the authority of Jesus over this illness and over sin. You see, all authority has been given to Jesus. Even the wind and the waves obey him. He has authority over death. He has authority over disease. He has authority over sin. And here he simply says to the fella, be cleansed. And to that fella, be cleansed meant no more separation from God's people, no more absence in the worship of the Lord, restored to fellowship with God. And this is precisely what the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks to your and my own spiritual need here this evening. When Christ commands our sins are forgiven and us to be cleansed, our separation from God ceases. Our condemnation ceases. Banishment are over as we are commanded into fellowship and friendship with the living God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say to you this evening, when you begin to truly feel the weight of your sinfulness before God, of your misery, of your fallenness, of your separation from the presence of God, when you feel that, when the reality of it becomes real to you, the words, be cleansed, lift all your burden away, the burden of your sin from your shoulders, and be cleansed liberates you into the very presence of majestic royalty, not in Buckingham Palace, but here this evening in the presence of God. Christ was willing, Christ commanded, and he's able to declare this man cleansed. He's able to declare us forgiven of our sins when we trust in him, because Jesus has done everything needed that we might be forgiven. That shows his willingness to make the sinner whole. Jesus came down from the glory where he ever lived with the Father. He took to himself frail flesh. And he came to go to the cross for you and for me. To carry in his own body on the tree the foul weight of our sin and to take it away once and for all, paying the ultimate price of dying. Such is his love for us. He died that we might live. You see, that which separates you from God, Christ himself bore in that radical act of atonement when he died for us in our place on Calvary's cross. So that everybody who truly comes to him in faith, in repentance and belief, Jesus declares to them on the basis of what he's done for them, be cleansed, be forgiven. Not only did he express his willingness, not only did he issue the command, but lastly, notice he accomplished the command. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. No disease can withstand the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. No stronghold of sin can last at his command. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. For this man, that meant that his skin, which was thickened and ulcerated and scaled, suddenly became whole. He became cleansed of his leprosy. Those hands that were twisted and distorted by multiplied accidents caused by numbness were suddenly made whole. Feeling would have returned to his hands and feet. He could stand up. He could feel the wonderful sensation of movement. He could now be touched by others after he'd been to the priests. Christ, whose power was never doubted, was willing, and he commanded, and he accomplished the cleansing of this leper. And if you, recognizing the truth of your spiritual condition here this evening, come out of a concern to be right with God once and for all, and come to Christ in repentance, turning from your sin and your unbelief to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, well then this leper provides a close parallel to your condition here this evening. Because when we come to Christ and we're found then in Christ, we're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. To be in Christ is to hear his voice, to know him and to follow him gladly and obediently and faithfully throughout the days, months and years of our life. To be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ is to see removed all the old condemnation felt as we come to God's word and his law telling us that this is how we must live and this is how we must live, and we know that we haven't. We know that we are condemned. Nobody here tonight loves the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and strength and mind. Not one of us. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we come to those commands, we feel the condemnation of them. But to be in Christ, to turn from our sin and to believe upon him, is to know that there is now no condemnation. Because we know that Christ has met the demands of the law for us personally. And he's paid the penalty of the law for our disobedience, for us personally. And so we come to him and he commands, our sins are forgiven as we trust him and turn from our sin. Do you know, to be in Christ this evening is to be right with God once and for all. To be in Christ this evening and to be cleansed is to have peace with God, which nobody can ever take away from you. Peace of God not only in this life, but in the age to come. And so what of you this evening? Here in these four verses, Christ demonstrates his willingness as well as his power to make us clean. To make us right with God. Not because of what we do, but because of what he has done on our behalf. And Christ demonstrates his willingness to do this by coming down from heaven and offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice. Where he cries in victory, it is finished, the work is done. And then is raised from the dead on the third day. Would you not be cleansed by him here this evening? Have you seen your condition, your spiritual condition, the truth of it, the reality of it? It's desperate and it's miserable. Would you not come to Christ, who alone can bring you a remedy for that condition? Trying to become good won't remedy it. Going to church won't remedy it. Saying your prayers won't remedy it. Memorizing the Lord's Prayer won't remedy it. Being religious won't remedy it. Only Jesus Christ can remedy it. Can't you see here this evening not only his power but his willingness? And today his mercy calls you to wash away your sin. He is willing. Are you to remain unwilling, stubbornly insisting that this man shall not reign over you? Oh, can I urge you this evening? Christ alone has the power and the willingness to make you a sinner whole through what he has done for you on Calvary's cross. Will you not turn from your sin and believe upon him?